Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, for the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about this issue. Keep this issue in the front of your awareness as you go about your day. Each time you become aware that attention is on the issue, notice what the voices are saying and jot it down. So here we go. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Ashwini. It's Brian from Detroit.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, this was like entirely fascinating. There was a whole bunch of different conversation that came up from conditioning. And I think the interesting part about this for me was that what I'm doing is moving more towards practice, the noun, like becoming the practice itself. And yesterday when I was listening, someone had mentioned going to the monastery. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly it. It's like taking care of myself on retreats or at the monastery is where I'm headed. And conditioning could only come up with content about what I was doing when I was there. So the message was, well, you can't do that. You can't recreate, you know, the monastery. You can't, you know, it's a lost cause. You just can't do it. And I'm like,
you can't live like that.
Yeah, I couldn't possibly do that at home. And and yet coming back, like I've got this like real feeling of joy in my system today, because coming back was like, well, that's not true. I've had the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And conditioning just couldn't say anything about the experience.
Right. Well, that is so interesting, isn't it? So you wanted to, not that you really did this, but not that you really wanted a conversation about process with the voices, but kind of like,
yeah.
Okay, you say I can't do this. Why can't I do this? What is it that, and it doesn't have anything. It, as you say, it can point at content, but that's its only world. It doesn't have a process.
Right.
So
Yeah.
So realizing that really puts a person ahead in the, you know, I really don't need to believe this, because we're not even having the same conversation here.
Yeah, one's like an entire fantasy about something, and where I'm being grounded is the fact that I have done that. I've been in the process of being on retreat and in the, and it's not the content in a way of the retreat or the monastery. It's just the process of me doing that, having the experience of being there. And conditioning has nothing to say about that, because it can only talk about an experience.
Yes, yes. And if you don't believe what it's saying, and I project you cut right to the, well, what is the belief there? And then finding out that there isn't anything even remotely valid. And so if you don't believe that story, then that's the end of that story.
Yeah, it just can't, it can't maintain its, and it gives me that direction to like find out what that is for me here and now. How can I put myself in that experience where I'm at? And it's doable. And I'm really proud of myself, because I'm even looking at any of this, because before it was like, oh no, you know, there's no way I can live like this. I'll just have to wait until the next retreat or until I can get to the monastery. And it was so, there was such a huge wall that came up. That conditioning,
yeah.
Conditioning loved it. It was like, see, you know, you have to go.
You can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
I love it. And of course, the piece of that we can all really relate to is, you can't do that now. And of course, any number of people who have been on retreat or been to the monastery knows that that same conversation can happen on retreat or at the monastery.
Absolutely.
Right? You can't do this now. I mean, maybe some other time, some other place you could, but not now.
Exactly. Maybe you can do this when you go home. You know, it's always going to it's always going to have some answer. Yeah, you can't do it at the monastery, so you'll have to wait until you get home. So, yeah, it's always delaying. It's always trying to buy time.
Out in the future.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, but thank you very much. I'm so happy doing this again. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brian. So, Sherry, the importance of this question is really exactly what you were talking about with Brian, which is we realize we're in the conversation only when we know what the conversation is. And in recognizing we're in the conversation, that's our first movement to get here, because we'd have to be in awareness to recognize the conversation. It's why we want to be specific about what the voices are saying, because as soon as I hear that and I'm present to the conversation, then I can get to the now. Otherwise, I'm simply in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. So the two choices are, as you say, to stay in awareness, observing what's going on, and, which enables us to see what the system is doing, or we identify with the other, usually the other half of the ego duality, excuse me, and we are part of the conversation. So we're either disidentified, step back in awareness, or we're right in there participating with ego.
Yes, and it's what Brian was saying, that it's always focused on the content and it's not now. And so the only way to get to now is to get to awareness. And now we can practice being in awareness, watching the conversation, and then therefore we're at the monastery, if the monastery is a synonym for presence.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
What?
Okay, let's try someone else. Here we go. Next caller, you're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello. Oh my God. Really loud.
Hi, this is Helga from Charleston.
Hey, Helga.
Hi. I'm in the middle of cooking, so. So I had to drop what I was doing. Anyway, I saw what the person here before said, that, you know, it's like all these things that conditioning is telling me, it's like choosing belief over experience. I remember you saying that so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. You know, it's like there's all these beliefs that when I look at really what have I experienced, the complete opposite of what conditioning is telling me.
Ooh.
And the other thing that is, you know, it's doing with me is that whole thing with procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. Not today, but I'll do it tomorrow. And
first thing.
What?
First thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll do it first thing tomorrow. So there's this little jolt of, oh, right, yes, oh, good.
And then there's this excitement about that. And then when tomorrow comes, that's today, and then I'll do it tomorrow. And I've been doing that for a very long time.
Yeah. So now that you've caught on to the choosing beliefs over experience, that's a really helpful tool, isn't it? Because if you realize, and so, of course, ego is always in the past or always in the future. We know that. So the beliefs happen relative to the past or the future, right? So we're getting some real clues about what that is. And so anytime you hear that kind of conversation, you can you can know very quickly what's happening. And because you realize that the only way you could be observing that conversation instead of being a part of it is if you're disidentified, step back in awareness, and watching the whole thing.
Hmm. Yeah.
Very scientific, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you hadn't gotten that piece of choosing beliefs over experience, you wouldn't have realized how often that's the case. If we don't know that's
yeah.
going on, we can't tell the difference between beliefs and experience. We don't know that beliefs only happen in the past and the future, and that experience mm-hmm. happens now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, what was interesting to me is that really, I mean, I don't know every time, but so often the belief is the complete opposite of the experience.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
not just that it's not my experience, but it's the opposite. It's like it'll tell me, you know, blah, blah, blah. If I don't, then I'll be depressed. And the truth is, well, if I don't, then I actually feel better. So, you know,
yes.
so it's just, yeah.
Yes. Well, the two important pieces of that. So ego operates in duality, right? And it's called the world of opposites, right? Because just about everything about it, as you've noticed, is opposite of what is so, which mm. is a great design if you want to throw somebody off the scent. So don't just say, well, you may not enjoy it. Say, you're going to die. Because you may not enjoy it. Well, let me find out. But I'm going to die? Oh, okay. I don't want to do that.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Don't you?
Yeah, you know, what I love is that you guys are back and I can, you know, listen every day and, you know, participate. That's what I love.
We can cook with you. We can cook with you
what?
Every day. We can cook with you every day.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Helga.
All right. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks, Helga. That's such a brilliant observation, right, Sherry, that until we do a practice like this, we actually can't tell the difference between belief and experience because we're so trained to go with the belief.
Yeah.
I mean, just to stop and consider the enormity of that.
Yeah. 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 So all those kind of science fiction-y sorts of things that people have done forever, which is we're asleep. We're in a dream. We're walking around mm-hmm. in a dream. It's not real. It's imaginary. And yet, we are so conditioned to believe that this imaginary world inside our head is the real world, that it's really true.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. to start waking up from that is breathtaking.
Yes, it truly is. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Oh, hello. This is Kim calling from Vashon, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, hello, Kim. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing a lot. My content area is eating sugar. And what I see with the voices all day, what I saw yesterday was, it was the whole duality. It was like, you know, I just, the conversation was, you know, chocolate isn't sugar. Then, you know, the other side of it, yes, it is, and you're too fat, and because you're eating the only chocolate, and it's not healthy, it's scary, oh, it's okay, you earned it, you know, and oh, it won't
mm-hmm.
hurt, you did well all day, you know, these very familiar beliefs, I guess these are beliefs, and it's disorienting. Like it throws you from one side to the other. It throws me, ego throws me from one side to the other, and I
yeah.
can never stabilize
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if you ever did this when you were a kid or your kids ever did this, but there's a thing where two people get, 10 feet apart and somebody gets in the middle and you take hold of the person, you shove the person in the middle from their lower back and you spin them to the other person and then they spin them, okay? And it doesn't take very long before that person is so disoriented that they can no longer stand up. I don't know why kids think things like that are fun, but anyway, it was. and that's what you're describing with ego, right? Mm-hmm. It's just shoving us back and forth between the two sides of the duality, so quickly that we can't get our bearings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the net result, as you're pointing out, is we do whatever we're being told to do, and we then are told whatever goes with that. So it's okay to eat it, so you eat it, and then, of course, you're told that it's not okay, and then you decide not to eat it, and you're told that it's okay, you really want it, and besides, you've earned it, and so, and like a yo-yo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's a part of me that wants relief. Like, I just want it. I want to stop with that yo-yo game. And I imagine then that the watching is that process.
Yes. And Kim, with that, the belief, I don't know, you'll look and see for yourself. But what I saw when you were describing that is the belief is in that reality. That whole process is necessary or true or real or valid or something.
Well, is there a reality body that there is a craving, though? Or is that
speaking,
that a belief,
no,
too?
Yeah, that's a belief. I don't know this, but I've read, heard that quitting smoking cigarettes is actually harder than quitting heroin. I imagine it would depend on who you talk to, right, and what the person is trying to quit. But science says it's something like 3 days that the physical craving is gone. But I know for myself, with smoking cigarettes, 35 years later, these images come to me of doing that as if it's some sort of a good thing that I might want to do. So I think that's where the craving is. And with what you're pointing at, it's in the conversation. Chocolate. Oh, chocolate. And just the word evokes all those, that tastes so good and it feels good to eat it. And, I love that. Yes, I want that. And if that conversation weren't there, or if it turned to lettuce, then... Right? You would be having a very different experience.
Well, right, because there's a maintenance of identity, too.
Yes.
With
the
I'm a person, too.
That's right. Suffers over my attachment to chocolate. Mm-hmm.
And also, ego exists, that identity exists because that's who I am, and how could, if I leave that, like a smoker, right, if I don't smoke or a drinker, then I can't be with those people who have formed my, it becomes other people's fault, too, because that's another belief, like other people won't like me if I don't eat chocolate.
Yes, yes, yeah, exactly.
Another way it gets me.
and that's what we're breaking down, right? All of these conversations, all of these ways that it shows up. So it's not just one thing one time a day, because we would see through that. We wouldn't buy it. But it's always there, just kind of nipping at your heels, just whispering in your ear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so just
all right.
Continuing to watch. Just watch and write it down. Watch and write it down. Okay.
Yeah, paying attention, seeing what you're saying.
Okay.
All right. Thank
Asha,
you,
thank you. Go happy.
Go happy. Thanks, Kim.
There were so many things I was hearing on about in that conversation, Sherry. One being, everything is created in the conversation. The sense of who I am, mm-hmm. the absence of what I don't have, and that sense of the world of opposites, the reality that's created by the yo-yoing between one side or the other of any choice or decision I have to make. Like the entire construction of the world of ego is in the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And the belief that that conversation is real.
Yes, yes, which is the persistent nature of it, right? That's uh-huh. that was such an interesting thing, too, that the what keeps the attention on the conversation is because we're so brainwashed to believe that it is it's the only reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and starting to get it that it's the only reality because I'm focusing attention on it,
and it's so and we're focusing attention on it is because it's so persistent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Susan from Murphy's.
Hello, Susan.
I'm just seeing my life flash before my eyes.
That's where I like to say, before my horrified eyes.
You know, it mm-hmm. actually, I am having that experience. Okay, so the content that I picked was... meditating more. And mm-hmm. I mean, you would think I love meditation. So and there was a whole thing that went on about, I mean, really? So this is what it would say to me. Really? I mean, this is a little extreme, you know, because I put in several meditations. So it would say, you know, this is extreme. You know, you already do enough. You have a good schedule. You've been meditating for a gazillion years, and you know self-care. So it would start, you know, in...
Mm-hmm. You. Uh-huh.
Sometimes it would switch to I, but mostly it was you. And so then mm-hmm. I saw in my record... Oh, and then it would say things, you know, helpful things like, you know, what you really need to work on is recording and listening. That's always been something you struggle with. Now, I have believed that for a long time, that story. You know, what I really like mm-hmm. is meditation. Like, and I just saw, it's a stupid story. It's not true.
Uh-huh.
It's not uh-huh. true. And so, okay, so anyway, that was all going on. You know, that's
Susan, don't lose your train of thought, but I just have to underline that, okay? Because that so clearly says what we're up against. So there's a whole story going on that you believe is true until you come to and realize, oh, my God, that's not even true. So it's not that we get caught believing things that are true, right? That's not our problem. It's that we're believing things that aren't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, which you guys were talking about just a minute ago. And the thing that I mean when I say, like, seeing all of that and using this as a forum in which to practice and see ourselves and all of that, see ego, is the life flashing before me, is that I see how that thing, these stories that I've been believing that I can get caught in, actually... You know, of course, this is not new, is going on everywhere and limits me. So in the mm-hmm. sort of, let's say I call into the show, 5 minutes before it's over, 3 minutes before it's over, I start thinking about the next thing. And I notice it will talk me into at times, right before you say, go happy, I'll just hang up. And that's uh-huh. not really... problem, you know, it's not a problem in and of itself, but the problem is that it does that, it skimps. So the thing that it's getting me to skimp on life was what I was
yes.
seeing.
Yes.
That I don't get to do any, like, so it'll set this, so I'll set a schedule for my heart, and then it'll take it over and say, oh, this is a great schedule, but I don't get to actually completely live the schedule. I don't get that.
Oh, yes. And to me, Susan, the thing that points out for us is it controls you. That's the real bottom line of it. When it says hang up, you hang up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the fiendish part of it, right? So, you know, all of this beliefs and assumptions and orchestrating what we're doing in the conversation in our head to really get it, that the bottom line of this is it's in control. It makes us think we are, because I don't want to RL, or I don't feel like meditating, or whatever it is. And I think that's me, and so I go along with it. And I don't realize that it has absolute control over my life all the time.
Yes, and it's very cunning, because in the beginning it would say that, I don't want to. But I figured out that I do want to. So now it just says, well, you know, that's you're already doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it falls into the living, you know. So anyway, it's just helpful to turn our attention one more time deeply at what it's using now.
Yes.
What it's doing now.
Yeah. So that's what we were talking about a little bit ago as well, right? It's catching on to the process that's being used, right? Not the content. Because if I spend my life fighting the battle of shall I meditate or shan't I meditate, good, I'm completely controlled and ego can just really kick back and relax. But if I catch on to the I don't want to, or you're already doing enough, if I catch on to that conversation and I hear that, I'm going to come to and realize, ah, I see. Okay, this is one of those places. And that's the power of recognizing the beliefs and the assumptions, the language that's holding those in place.
Yeah, and then being able to use those other tools that we've been talking about of, I'm doing this right now. I'm doing this now. I may be doing it. You could believe that, but I'm going to follow my breath right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay on the whole phone call right now because that's what's actually on my schedule.
Right. And you know, it's my life.
Right. And by the way, it's my life. Yes. Oh, I'll have to add that one. So, thanks for the new class. Thanks for showing up every day to both of you. It's inspiring to me and helps me to do it myself.
Oh, good. Thank you. Take good care.
Take care. Gotcha.
Oh, and in case, you know, you ever miss it, feel happy. Just in case, you know, in case it gets you sometime. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Susan. Oh, I just love that conversation, Jerry, because what I was seeing about it is how much, so one thing, if we're in the conversation, it's our complete reality, right? The belief that is what is true. And then the extent to which it has our attention, how much it takes away from being wholeheartedly here, that any leak of attention to that conversation deprives us of our lives. The reality of our existence, we can't inhabit because there's some level of attention on that.
Yes.
That's what Susan was saying. It doesn't matter. I'm here for 27 minutes, and then 3 minutes I have to exit what I'm doing right now to look at what I'm going to be doing next. And so even though I was on the phone for 27 minutes, my choice of narrative is I'm not here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing because I'm not here for three minutes.
I hadn't even made that connection. Yes, that process of being talked into leaving early feeds the you're not doing enough. So if I can talk you into not focusing on what you're doing right now a few minutes ahead so that you can prepare for whatever is coming next, when I say, well, you know, you're really not fully here all the time, you can't deny it because it's true.
Right, and there's no registering of the 27 minutes you were on the call because it gets overwritten as you're not here. So it can make us suffer over any content around not enough if it can get our attention even for a very small portion of the time to register when we're not here. So the reason I believe I don't record and listen or I don't meditate enough is that while I'm meditating and while I'm recording and listening, if I'm listening to a voice that says anything, then I'm gone for the level of time that I'm gone, and that's what gets registered as not enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Whew. Whew.
Yeah, and our two favorites from practice, Something Wrong and Not Enough, it just completed both of those, right?
Yes.
It was wrong, and now you haven't done enough. Wow.
Yeah.
That's very big.
Yeah, and it turns the table, right? Because now when the suffering is over a piece of content, we can actually say, what I'm really going to do is to stay for the 3 additional minutes of the call, which is so much more doable than to say, oh, my God, I have to do enough of X.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that with recordings, one of the things we might add, you know, when I finish the meditation, just to acknowledge, that was wonderful. That was perfect. That was just right.
Yeah.
However, just to get ahead of the voices.
Yes, exactly. So to register that the extent of the time I am in awareness as opposed to in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of the show, and here's our assignment for today. Notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Review the various statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs/assumptions are revealed by that review? A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. Write down the beliefs and assumptions, RL what you see. Example, the voices say, I don't have time to exercise. Belief, my responsibilities are more important than what takes care of me. And my encouragement would be to actually look at it at that level, right? Because what the voices say might actually not be the belief that's operating. I mean, it's not saying what it believes.
Yeah,
but the belief is underlying.
Yeah, it's not presenting the belief. It's presenting what I will go along with that keeps that belief in place.
And out of sight.
Yeah, out of sight, yeah.
Ooh. All right.
Very fun. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.